Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
From Autosport.com and Autosport Magazine, I'm Kevin Turner, and this is the Autosport Podcast. Well, I'm at Silverstone. It's raining. And I'm speaking to the 2023 Aston Martin Autosport BRDT Young Driver of the Year Award winner, Joseph Loke. Joseph, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you. Yeah, no, it's been a good day. I've had the pleasure of speaking to a number of young rising stars of British motorsport. And yeah, it's been good fun, actually. It's been good fun. What have you been up to today so far? Have you been on the sim yet, or is that later?
No, that's later, actually. I've been staying inside out of the rain. I'm staying nice and warm. Although we did have to do a photo shoot earlier on the roof, and it was the coldest thing I think I've ever done.
They made you do a shoot on the roof?
Yes, I was shivering the whole time. I bet I look so awkward in the photos.
We're fortunate enough to be in the BRDC clubhouse, so thank you very much to the BRDC. Everyone's run away on their own now. Anyway, so yes. Well, let's crack on with what you're doing in 2024, which is FIA Formula 3 with Rodin Motorsport, formerly Rodin Carlin. And it's quite a jump, isn't it? Because I think when we spoke at the end of 2023, you weren't sure what you're going to be doing. You're thinking maybe another year in GB3. So how are we now sitting here looking at your rookie F3 campaign coming up shortly?
It all kind of happened very quickly after the award. You know, the award gave me the opportunity for Formula 3 in the first place. I got contacted by Sam Waypool from Rodin, and he said to me that he wanted to get me in the car. And I was like, okay, but I don't have much money. And he was like, well, we'll see what we can do. And then, you know, we came to a good deal. But yeah, I think it's in the best interest of both, you know, myself and Rodin that, you know, they've been struggling in the last few years. I think it's definitely going to be difficult. But I think together we can work quite well. And I think we'll be able to, you know, develop the car throughout the year. And I think by the end of the year, if we can be, you know, in the top 10, I'll be pretty happy with that.
And do you see F3 as a two year deal then? Because of that reason, obviously they're coming off the back of not the greatest period. It's a big, yeah, quite a big step for you. You're not done sort of Formula Regional on the GB3 thing. So is it a 2 year thing, or you're not looking that far ahead?
It's hard to really say. You know, it is a 2 year thing. F3 really, you don't get enough running to really be able to do it in 1 year. Unless you've had like endless amounts of GP3 testing or something, which of course I've done none of. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what I'll be doing next year. Not a clue. I haven't even thought about it. I was too busy trying to just make sure I was driving somewhere this year. So the main thing for me is to try and make sure that I optimize everything this year and I can just, you know, get the results that I can, show that I deserve another year in F3. And then after that, hopefully things will kind of align in the right way. Obviously I can't sit there and wait for it to come to me, but you know, results will give me the opportunities at the end of the day. So you know, if I can, you know, start getting some good results towards the end of the year, I think there's definitely an opportunity for another year next year.
Yeah, one step at a time sort of thing, isn't it? Yeah. And you've got an interesting dynamic within the team, haven't you? Because I'm smiling because Joe's just been brought some water.
Yep, on a metal platter.
Yes,
no lemon.
It's quite dramatic. We've got bowing Wonderful. Going on, and you can tell we've been here quite a while at Silverstone. We've all gone a little bit mad. So, yeah, you've got an interesting dynamic in the team with Callum Voisin is one of your teammates. And, of course, he beat you to the GB3 Championship last year, but you then won the Young Driver Award against him. So there's got to be, I guess it's rivalry, but you kind of got the job of working together to improve the car as well. So how's that looking at the moment?
Yeah, me and Callum are getting on quite well, to be fair. I mean, We never didn't get on. It's just obviously when you're in a title fight, you know, it does get quite heated and you don't dislike each other, but you have to almost hate each other on the track. Otherwise you're not going to race each other as hard as you will. So, yeah, but obviously now we know, you know, going into this season, you know, Rodin have had tough years. So we have to work together and we both know that if we work together, it's better for both of us. And, you know, we are doing that. You know, all the way through testing in Bahrain, we were trying to work together, just, you know, pick out everything that we could between us instead of working on our own. And it does help, you know, both of us working together, and of course Peter as well. All three of us working towards the same goal is always going to be better than just one of us. But yeah, I think the team dynamic's quite good this year. You know, we're all getting on quite well. I mean, obviously on social media, it's I think Rodin are quite enjoying having us all. But no, it's going to be a fun year, and yeah, fun's the most important word, I think.
And is it quite surprising for you to be here? Because if you go back, say, 12 months, you know, you had what, fifth and sixth in British F4 with JHR Development, stepping up to GB3 with them, like, and you were a win almost straight away. You won more races than Callum. You're in the title fight in your rookie season. It was that. Why did you looked better in GB3 than F4 almost. Yeah. So was that the car? Did you just click with the car, or do you just feel like you hit your own, you know, next level? How did that happen?
I think there was lots of different reasons why both my F4 years weren't as good as they could have. You know, first year I was so naive that I didn't have any self-belief. I didn't believe in myself. I was turning up to races knowing that I wasn't the best on the grid, and that's not the right mindset, but that was the mindset I had. You know, I had three very good teammates that whole year. You know, I had Matt Rees, Mackenzie Cresswell, Abby Pulling, and they're good. Like, it was so difficult to keep up with them. The amount of testing they had before me was a lot, and therefore it was very demoralizing. Then for 2022, I was like, right, they're all gone now. They've gone off to their own things. So now I'm going to be the team leader in JHR, and I kind of was. But we turned up to round one with the brand new car in Formula 4, and it just was not up to speed. We were about 9 tenths off in qualifying, and we had a lot of work to do. But then throughout the year, it was improving and improving and improving. And by the end of the year, we were winning races. We were on pole at the last round. So I think, even though the results don't look that good in terms of championship, I think if you take everything into account, it wasn't too bad. I think it just looks worse than what it was. But then GB3, I think JHR did a really good job with the car, getting everything, you know, where it needed to be. And we turned up to round one, and I was obviously on pole. And yeah, it was quite cool, to say the least. Like, to be on pole was just, especially the first round, especially at Alton with all my family there as well, there was a lot of pressure, I think, which I look back on now. I didn't think it was much pressure at the time, but looking back, I was like, yeah, that was difficult. But yeah, no, I think overall GB3 was so much better just because of everything was a lot more structured. Everything worked how I wanted it to, rather than me just being told what it was. And I think because I took the reins a tiny bit more in terms of myself, it just meant that I could have more control on everything, and I could do the best for myself. And I think I'm trying to use that to even more effect this year.
Yeah, that will come into play this season, won't it? But I also wanted to sort of point out, really, that I reckon you're unique among the drivers that we're speaking to, that you are also a Fiesta Junior champion. so you didn't go there. Because a lot of people did Ginetta Junior, went straight into F4, and obviously you did the Fiesta. Why did you pick the Fiesta Junior route? How did that come about?
Well, I didn't have any interest in trying to make a career out of motorsport until I went to F4. So obviously Fiestas was before that. And sure, I looked at motorsport and I was like, yeah, I'd love to be in that. I'd love to be a driver. I'd love to be an F1 driver, blah, blah, blah. But I think every kid does that. And then I went to the Autosport show, actually, and I saw the Fiesta Junior stand, and I was like, Dad, I really want to do this. This looks so cool. And it was either that, where we spend, I think it was 30 grand on a season in Fiestas, or we spend 100 grand on a karting season. And it was a no-brainer for us. You know, we were like, well, we can race cars at Silverstone and, you know, all of these tracks. And so we did that. And then after that, you know, obviously I got the opportunity with F4, and then I was like, right, let's try and make a career out of it and see what we can do. But yeah, Fiestas was, it was so fun. Just so fun, just hacking around, podding people, just door bashing, everything. It was, yeah, proper racing for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, no. And had the interest in motorsport always been in the family? Where did that come from? I mean, presumably you had some interest before you went to the All Sports Show, otherwise you wouldn't have been there. So where did the sort of enthusiasm come from?
Well, that was the first show I'd ever been to, the first ever car-related thing I'd ever been to. And I only went because my dad was like, oh, I think it'd be a good day out, that. So we were like, yeah, let's go. Why not? So we turned up and yeah, just didn't know really know what to expect. We saw Fiesta and we wanted to do it. But yeah, there was no interest in the family. Nobody was bothered by motorsport. You know, we saw it and we were like, yeah, it's cool, but whatever. And then me and my dad went go-karting, like started to go go-karting when I was about 8 years old. And for a couple of years, we just did a bit of rental stuff, just a bit of a laugh. And then my high school had a karting club associated with it, which
that's
is
cool.
Yeah, it is quite cool. It wasn't, it used to be literally part of the school and then it's kind of separated over time, but it's still got the name and stuff like that. So when I moved to high school, I then realized that there was a karting club. So I joined it and started doing very, very grassroots, like low level karting. And then, yeah, from then on, just moved up into Fiestas. So yeah, it was, yeah, never did anything big in karting, anything like that. Just did it for a bit of fun. And even Fiestas was just for a bit of fun, really, until F4.
Well, it's got quite a lot more serious now, hasn't it? With the, I mean, we've talked before, you know, fitness, simulating. I mean, when you're not, you know, obviously early day school work and stuff, and then simulators. What do you do when you're not doing any of that? What do you, away from motorsport, how do you wind down? What's the thing you do to go, oh, I just need to think about and do something else? What's your go-to?
If I'm not doing motorsport, I'm thinking about it. And if I'm not thinking about it, I'm pretending to do it on a simulator, to be honest. So it's, yeah, my whole life kind of is motorsport. Yes, I do like to switch off. And, you know, for example, I like to go bowling with my friends or just little things like that that I can switch off with. But to be honest, I spend that much time either training or on my sim that I don't really do anything else. But it's not because I have to. It's just because I'm so in love with motorsport. And I think if I didn't have motorsport, then I think I'd be so lost with my life. I'd be like, what on earth do I do?
So you haven't started the stamp collection yet or anything like that?
No. Or a train collection. I've heard some drivers collect trains.
Yeah, trains and model aircraft as well. That's another one.
Yeah.
Things that move.
Not my thing.
No.
Planes are scary.
And you're not like getting on planes.
Well, I don't.
I mean, I'm not a huge
planes
fan.
Are okay, but you know when you go to air shows and you see them doing the flips and the loop de loops, and they look like they're just going to crash every time. It's so scary. I've seen too many like plane crash documentaries on TikTok.
See, that's one of my few non-motorsport things. Yeah. Is a kind of that does interest me.
What, the plane crashes?
Yeah, because more the investigations and how they work.
I was
going to
say,
out,
you don't just watch them and go, look at that.
Oh, no. Nothing as morbid as that. But it is fascinating how they work out what's happened in various. And of course, that has pushed aircraft safety through the years. So this is an entirely different podcast.
Yeah, series, it is. I mean, the technology side of it is quite cool. Mm. And that is relatable to motorsport because I think there's a lot of like aerodynamic stuff, especially that. Basically, race cars are just upside down planes, and planes are upside down race cars. And, you know, at the end of the day, wind is the same for them both. They just use it in a different way. And I think the amount of technology that it uses is quite clever.
Yeah, and you go back further, and of course, there was more crossover with engines. I think disc brakes were on aircraft in the Second World War before they found their way onto motor cars. So, well, that was a random segue I wasn't expecting.
It was.
But actually, we're going to continue the sort of. Well, it can be motorsport, it doesn't have to be. Is there a role model or someone you look up to, someone that you particularly admire? Doesn't have to be a motorsport figure, but could be. Anyone come to mind?
No, not necessarily, but mainly because I'm quite a big believer of kind of making your own path in what you're doing. So, of course, you look up to drivers in motorsport as people to reference and like try and, you know, there's good bits about every driver that you can take into yourself and learn from. And of course, you know, if I was to pick one out, I think everybody would say Max Verstappen at the moment, just because of the aggression and also just how pinpoint perfect he is with almost every lap he does. But then I think it's also important that the reason why you're like every driver in, you know, motorsport in general, the higher up you go, there's a reason why they're there, and it's because they're themselves. You know, you have to be yourself and you have to use your own good traits to your advantage. Sure, the bad traits need to be changed and, you know, addressed, but everybody has good parts of their driving. You know, there's probably something that I'm good at that maybe even someone like Hamilton couldn't do, but there's just a lot more stuff that he's better than me at, and that's why he's in Formula One and I'm not. But again, I look at that and I go, well, how can I do that? And so then I take the good bits from me, the good bits from them, and then try and mix it together. And I think that's something that's really important for every driver. And it's, yeah, just making sure that you're not trying to copy someone else.
Yeah, no, I think that's very... Yeah, plowing your own furrow is probably a good... Yeah. Don't try and be anybody that you're, yeah, that you're not. It's probably a pretty good advice. Yeah, not just actually, in motorsport, actually, just in life generally.
Yeah, yeah. So when I first came into F4, you know, I was speaking to a few people and they were saying, you know, you have to act this way, you have to be a certain way, you have to do certain things, you have to present yourself in a certain way. And I turned around and I was like, no, I don't want to do that. Because if I'm having to, you know, act in a way that I don't want to, then it's not me. And if I then, for example, did make it to Formula One, I've done it not being me and I'm being someone else. And I couldn't stand the thought of not being able to be myself because of that. So, of course, to a point, you have to, you know, be professional and stuff like that. But I think, you know, I'm a big advocate of just, you know, having a good time being in motorsport and portraying who you are. You know, I'm at this point now, I'm on a worldwide level in Formula 3, and I feel like it's a really good platform to be able to show the world that you can be different. And, you know, of course, I've not got a massive following, but I'd hope that I can be at least a bit of an influence on some people of, you know, it's okay to be you. You don't have to try and be a certain way just to do a certain thing. You know, everybody's got their own path, and I think it's important to stick to it.
Yeah, well, that's, I think that's a very nice nice sentiment, probably a nice place for us to finish, other than to say, of course, best of luck with F3 this season, one of five Brits on the grid. So I urge listeners to keep an eye on keep an eye on that and see how they're all getting
me
on.
Me especially.
Especially Jason,
yeah,
of course.
Because I'm the best one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, no, thank you very much, Joseph Lake, for joining us. Hopefully we can catch up with you again later in the season. Hope it goes well. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We'll be back soon with another Autosport podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.